Hi, I'm Chief Bob Vasquez.
And I'm Dr. Jose Lugo Santiago. Welcome to Leaders and Futures. Let us have a new kind of conversation, one about leading as futures emerge, are yet to happen, or plainly need to be reimagined.
Someone has said that the best way to predict the future is to create it. Although it's impossible to predict the future, one thing is certain, you must lead in it. It's time to think differently about leading.
This podcast is powered by the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight.
Let's get started with today's discussion on leaders and futures.
Hola, Dr. Lugo. Man, it's been like a while since we've talked. Where were you last week?
Oh, was I last week? Listening.
Listening.
To listening. What? Taking a rest. Listening to nature and recharging the batteries. Spring break. Isn't that what we do in spring break? We take a break?
I'm retired, man. I don't get no spring break. I don't get snow days. I don't get the weekends. All the things that you people appreciate, I don't get.
Oh, I was thinking that if you're retired, then you are retired, right? What do you need a rest for?
To do my work. I retired from the job so that I can do my work.
Oh, okay. So you see, you need to refresh then. That's the whole thing, right? Because this is what happens. When we are so set in the things that we got to do, we walk life looking at our feet, and very seldom we take our eyes off our feet to look forward and being able to look at the landscape. And so that's the reason why you still have to refresh. And that's just like leaders must do. Take a break to refresh.
Sounds like an excuse for being lazy to me. But anyway.
No, I think it's an excuse to talk about this subject that people try to avoid, like you're trying to avoid
the subject. No, too. Man. You know, I grew up with the mentality of, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, Lugo, but there was a Ford truck commercial, I think at 150 when they first came out with it. And the theme for it was the best never rest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I grew up that way, serving, 50 years in the Air Force altogether, that the best never rest. If you rest, someone's catching up on you and getting ahead of you. And, you know, that's some of us were brought up that way. Obviously, your generation, the lazy generation, decided that they didn't have to worry about that.
Well, you have a point there. Boomer generation, they thought this is how they were going to earn their badge of honor. And that was to, you know, work their way all the way down until, you know, in some cases, if you think about the Xers, they looked at that type of behavior, right? And they said they saw in some cases how that generation, you know, how that type of loyalty began to destroy their nucleus and their families. They try to, you know, doing different things. So the Xers said, you know what? We have to come up with something new. It's going to be called, wait, the life balance, work-life balance, right? And so because of that, then we became the lazy generation. Now, we did not become the lazy generation, but we would then, the boomers were calling us the lazy generation because we came up with this work-life balance. But you know what? It is. In many trials have been seen, that have been observed, that those people who take a break, you know, turn to be, in regards to performance, better at what they do. They make less mistakes. Matter of fact, when I was working aircraft maintenance, one of the things that we asked, you know, we used to work avionics, calibration systems. It requires a lot of concentration. And so what we wanted to do is maximize production with an improved quality. So production by itself doesn't win, but production, high production with high quality, then you win. And one of the things that we started seeing is, as we were examining, and I was a quality process evaluator, so I look at at our production, and I'm looking at our process, and I'm looking at our quality defects. And then when we have quality defects, we started looking at nonconformities, a root cause analysis. And this is what we found. We found that when we did not take breaks, we will see our the number of errors in will started coming up. So our quality started coming down, and so we mandated everybody did not matter if you were the supervisor, if you were the technician working on equipment, because some of that equipment obviously goes on aircraft and is very sensitive, you know, all of that. So what we did is we had to take a minimum. We took a 20-minute break. So we will go, we start the shift. We took the morning shift, for example. We split it in two. In the middle of it, we took a 20-minute break. Then everybody goes to do lunch. Then they come back and we do in the afternoon shift, right? The same thing. It's one shift, but, you know, the afternoon portion of the shift, let's put it that way. We divide it in two. And then we, in the middle, we took a 20-minute break. Everybody was mandated in. Everybody around, they knew their teammate. If the teammate was out there, no, I'm in the middle of something, I don't want to take a break, that other person had a responsibility to say, you're done. Unless there was an issue with safety. Safety was very important. But you know what happened? Our production went up. Our nonconformities or defects went down considerably. And people were happier just because they were able to take a break. Obviously, so resting does something to your level of energy because you can distribute it better. But the same thing goes to our leadership. And I'm not saying there are times that we know when we need to rest, right? You're not in the middle of the fight, you know, all kinds of stuff is happening. And you're like, oh, okay, time out. Everybody go take a break. We'll continue fighting in just a second. You know, we'll send this and that. No, we don't do that, right? But there's a time and place for everything. But I think that the leader has to be able to look at the organization's tempo and then inject where can we take a time to refresh. And that's important. And that's, as you know, another point here in the last one is, and you know this, one of the things that we always were worried about, concerned, not worried, anytime that, you know, we as leaders, we start looking at our workforce. And if I see a person that would never take leave, would take vacation, I will always, why? Why would you go a year and something? In some organizations, it is mandatory. You know, you got to take it. And I think that's healthy. But why would you do that? And this is what happened. What happens if that person leaves? The person is a key position and that person can't take vacation. Now the person, for some reason, person gets sick or something, and who, you know, who's going to fill the void? What is it that this person know? That no one else knows? How do we know we can function fine without having this person being there all the time? That I think you can balance risk when, and you can see what kind of risk you're taking when your organization normally goes through these cycles that are important for all of us. We're, after all, humans.
Right. But only temporarily. AI is going to make all the machines do it, and then we won't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. So that's...
That's the future. That's the future.
It's interesting.
Wait till it happens, and then somebody's going to go back. Wow, that chief was right, man. We don't, you know, we're just hanging around now because we're humans, and the machines are doing everything. Okay, that's prophetic, but or pathetic.
That's,
I'm not sure which one.
That's the past, chief. That's the past.
Okay.
You're talking about the past. You're not talking about the future now.
Yeah.
Stuff is happening already.
Well, that's true. In many ways, huh? Like McDonald's, you can't even see people there anymore. But anyway, I understand what you're saying, Lugo, and I was just giving you a hard time. But other than being your best, you should never rest at that. You should always be your best. And that's a different topic, and maybe we'll get to that eventually. But and you know, that commercial was, of course, it was trying to sell pickups, Ford pickups, and so the idea was that pickup would go on forever and ever and ever because it's the best and it doesn't have to rest, you know. Nowadays, though, interestingly, cars go like I remember when it was a big deal when you bought a used car that had 30 or 40,000 miles on it. Now it's got 140 and 30,000 miles on it. It's like no big deal. So, things have changed. Our perspective has changed. But you're right, Lugo. The vessel, this machine, if you want to call it a machine that we call a human body, does need to rest every once in a while. And periodically, like you said, every hour, every two, whatever. You're a student of Stephen Covey. I know that he taught me personally that the mind can only function at 100% or pretty close to that for about 20 minutes. After that, it starts to what's the term that he used? It goes backwards, and you don't realize it. So, and as a musician, I remember we used to brag about, man, I just practiced 5 hours. Well, if it started going in, backwards about 4.5 hours ago, you just wasted 4.5 hours, And the idea, I think, and we don't do this often. When I was in the in a getting paid to do the work that I did, I we made sure that there were four or five of us that we would take a break, not every 20 minutes, but every once in the morning and once in the afternoon and lunch as well, and we'd take a walk. We would just take a walk down the hallways and talk and about anything but work, and that was good. It kind of refreshed us. Speaking of, I think the words that we use are powerful too, Lugo, and especially in the workforce, because if you say break in the workforce, that's not necessarily refresh. You just used to those two words a while ago. Take that break so that you can refresh. Well, if you refresh, or what's the other word? The other word, R word that we use anymore. So that you can get back to good health, that's a little different perspective than just taking a break. Back in my day, I mean, you remember you were an MTI. When I went through basic training, smoke them if you got them. You're probably that was probably way before your time. But everybody, I don't know. There were several of us in my flight that did not smoke, but we faked it because we got a break if you smoked. So you have
Rewards, right?
a
Rewards
reward.
drive
Yeah,
behavior.
exactly. Otherwise, we'd stay inside the dorm, cleaning the bathroom or doing, some other kind of work. But hey, let's go take a smoke break, and we would all go down there and fake, those of us. I took a puff of a cigarette once, and I think I was in, I don't know, 6 or 7 years old, and it about killed me. And I never did it again. Never have, and I never will. So, a good lesson. But anyway, you're right. For resiliency, that's the word I was trying to remember. In order to maintain resiliency, I think, and we've talked about the preemptive resiliency, my concept. Well, the smart thing is to take breaks as you need them, whenever that is. Now, if you're a leader or a manager, you probably have to figure that out by the clock, how many people you've got and all that kind. It's like with my daughter, Tessa. Tessa, she works with children in a child development center type thing. So she's the director. So she has to figure out when people should take breaks and all that, because somebody's got to be with the kids. You can't not, everybody can't take a break at 10:15. You got to have a rotation of some sort. But I think there's a huge value in that. But a lot of times, and I don't know, sometimes it seems like the higher the you go up on the ladder of success, the less you think about that and the less you do it. Because many years I just worked 24/7 pretty much. And I remember decades ago where I thought I was having a heart attack. And I realized that I was just being overworked. My chief, Dave Griffith, sat me down and said, "You're just being overworked. You're on 24/7." I was a first sergeant. I was as an active first sergeant. And I was killing myself, and I got so it got to the point that I was physically sick. And little by little, I had to go talk to the mental health guys and all that stuff, and learn to not do that, to meditate and all that kind of stuff that's good for you. But we don't value that most of the time. In fact, we look down at it. I think I asked you this a couple of years ago. What if you saw someone sitting, in the hallway, some a youngster sitting there, just sitting in the hallway? What would you do? Well, our first inclination is to get that guy back to work. Maybe that's not the good thing. Maybe he was thinking of how to fix the problem you can't fix, or maybe he was just resting, or she, or what. There's a lot more behind that. But we have that paradigm, I think, that we've built throughout the years. My generation maybe created it. I don't know, because you didn't do that. You didn't take a break. Your break was, if you're out on a farm or something, your break was to go get some water so that you could come back. And that's probably not the smartest.
Smoke break, right? You said you took
a smoke break, but that's just a basic training where it, you know, you're right. It was valued. Mm-hmm. It was rewarded, you know. Mm-hmm. And youngsters aren't dumb, you know. Yeah, heck yeah. I'm gonna fake that I smoke so I can go get my break.
Yeah, it's true. The point, right, is and you mentioned in there is understanding not to take a break. But you have to take a break. It's a prerequisite to being able to be refreshed.
Yeah.
But you can do whatever you want with that break, right? You can take that break to switch from one task to another. And yes. Then that's not taking a break.
Well, and you guys, I think even in your tenure as an MTI, Lugo, recover. I think that's the term that you guys used to use. And then that was like in formation. If you know, if everything was crazy or didn't go right, you tell everybody recover, and everybody would recover. They go back to their positions and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's probably a better term. If anybody out there wants a better term, we want to recover back to where we are healthy, whatever that may be. And it may only take 10 minutes or 20 minutes, but there again, the words may have some value. Because especially if you're trying to help somebody understand what you're trying to do, and that is about resiliency. I want to keep, remember Covey used to talk about PC, production capability, the PC being the people. I want to oil that machine, those people, so they can continue producing what they're producing. Otherwise, they're going to break down. And that's what I think a lot of people, maybe we call them leaders, I think they're more managers, but they'll push their people because, you know, hey, we need to do more. Well, okay, but you'll do it only to a certain point, and then it'll break down, and then you won't do anything.
Yeah, you mentioned the idea of recover. But this is what happens, and I think it may be interesting to, as a leader, to understand when you got to take a break. But what? How are you going to use that time, and plan in advance, build that response in the team so they know when we say break, these are the kind of things that we do. Or the kind of activities that we do so we can refresh. When you're talking about recover, it is not to go back to what you were doing, but it's just you knew intrinsically there was something that was not right. You are taking a pause. You're thinking through it. So there's some form of retrospection. And then you are thinking about what is the right way of doing what you were supposed to be doing. And that's the reason why you got command of, you know, recover, and that is that. So I know what right looks like. I know I need to introspect, reflect, have a clear view of how right looks like, and then go back to that. And so, that's what I was thinking when you were talking about the recover piece, and I thought that at the times that I have worked, you know, lately in these past years, it's been very different trying to get some things done. Technology and all kinds of other stuff is changing. And so you have to redefine how you do different things. And that takes time. And you can get through that cycle where you're working through all of those problems in your mind. Think you have solutions, you're testing the solution in every place and then analyzing the results. And in the end, you get to the point that mentally you're exhausted. But it's time to take a break, I know. But then what happens is that I want peace. And maybe what I need to do is, and then there are other times when now you got busy and you're like, you know what? When I took that break, I should have done this. I should have done this. I should have done that. So now I have kind of like peace of mind. And so I think that in the process of this process of refreshing and understanding when to take a break, that I think that it's important for leaders to prepare and maybe plan for how that break is going to look. What are kind of be the activities that are productive and fruitful in when you go into that moment that you have to take a break. So you can do those things and then re-energize and not even just stay where you were, but somehow in the future, because at that moment you have made an investment that is going to pay later on. And now you're refreshed and you can go back to what you were doing.
And re-energize is a good term because that's the purpose of it, right?
Re-energize, absolutely. Yeah.
So whether it's
re-energize and refocus.
And refocus. All the R words, man.
Mm.
What did you do? Open up the dictionary and it opened up the R?
As a matter of fact, if you're thinking process improvement, right? Anything that it starts with a R-E is a waste, right? Mm. Rework.
Re-energize.
Pair.
Refocus.
Refocus. Re-energize. Yes. And
those
you
are
know
a
why?
Waste? Why?
Because you have to, because there is work in trying to getting back to the position where you were, right? That's why you're saying rework. That's why you're saying re-energize. You had the energy. So now you kind of no energy. And now you're going to have to do some kind of work to recoup or get to that point where you are energized again. So I guess the best position to be is to always be energized.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Okay. This talk about taking a break has got me thinking. And, you know, there's a point in your life, an age in your life, when you got to go, when you got to go. And there's no R there.
Well, let's take a break then.
Okay. We'll see you next week.
Let's see you then. Thank you for listening. We hope today's topic connected with you and helped you reflect on the work leaders do to get out of a narrow focus on one future and into a broader range of plausible alternatives.
If you'd like to connect with us, find us at leadersandfutures.com.
And if you would like to learn more about leadership and future studies, we have several programs to help you at the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight.
Until next time, be great.